Hello and welcome to my podcast. My name is Shaden, and this is a recording of our Bible study at Hope Collective Church that meets every Wednesday at 6:30 in the evening. If you are in between ages 18 to 40 years old, you are welcome to join. But for now, please enjoy this week's episode.
So we are on Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And if you read them in order, this one can seem as if it's out of order. First, it's a characteristic that is a heart matter, right? Blessed are those poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are meek. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness. Those are all kind of heart matters between you and God. And then after that, it starts to go into action. Last week, blessed are the merciful. It's action. And then we have this one, which is blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And it seems like there's not really any action. It seems like, oh, this could have been number one or number two, right? You might know someone that has helped you, and then when they're in need, they pull out, hey, you remember that one time I let you borrow this? Hey, remember that one time I bailed you out of that? I need this favor now. Right? We kind of have those kinds of friends. And if that's the case, then you can question, was that person actually merciful to begin with? Because it seemed like that person had strings attached. When you look at Jesus, and he's showing mercy to all these people, there is no strings attached. There is no preconceived expectations or notions. He does it out of his purity of his heart. So that's why this one seems like it's out of order, but it's not. Because if you're merciful, and you're merciful again and again and again, and you're not pure in heart, you can get cynical. You can get calloused. You can get burnt out. You can get something that's called compassion fatigue. So blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Katharos, or whatever, I don't know how to say it. And that's Greek for the word pure, which can mean clean, blameless, unstained from guilt. And it's referring to a purification by fire or pruning. Pure can be a refining fire. When you want water, you want the purest type of water, right? As a Christian in Christ, You kind of want a desire to be the purest type of Christian in Christ. And you see that verbiage used with John the Baptist, right? Before Jesus came, John the Baptist said things like, there's someone that's coming that's going to baptize you in water and, what? Fire. There was a prophet, Malachi, who said the Messiah is going to come and he's going to be known as the refiner. But this is something that we don't do on our own. When you're born again, you are made pure. You're made holy. You're made righteous. So basically, you are pure, right? Christ is the one that makes you pure. If he baptizes you in water and fire, it makes you pure. Then why are we still wanting to be pure in heart? What's the point? Why? Was his baptism not enough? Do any of you here have like a coach or like a mentor or like a parent who like saw something in you that you didn't see? Like, oh, you're so good at this. And then all of a sudden, you became good at that. Like, wow, you are such a good person at playing basketball. You're such a good player. And you think, I'm rubbish. Yeah. But because that coach told me that, now I'm playing better. Mm-hmm. And I have more confidence in myself, right? Yeah. As a kid, I was terrible in school. Like, I was a rotten kid, rotten student, always making trouble. In elementary school, like, I remember always, like, being the class clown, making everyone laugh. And you know, like, when the teachers leave, and the class is, like, yeah, just absolute chaos? And I'm the one always causing that chaos. Yeah. Always. And so I remember one time, I will never forget this, that teacher had to leave real quick. And she's like, hey, everybody, Shaden's in charge. He's going to make sure you guys behave. And he's going to write down the names of people who aren't behaving. And I took that job really serious. I sat down and I had a list and I wrote down all the names that were messing up. And that became my job every time she left. And years later, I realized that teacher was so rotten to do that, right? But she believed in me that I could do that, and I did do that. Sometimes we always talk about that we have faith in God. Yeah, I have faith in God that he can move mountains, that he can raise people from the dead, that he's going to forgive me for my sins. But sometimes we forget that God actually has faith in us. Yeah. God had faith that Peter could walk on water. And it's when he said, Peter, come out to me. Peter had that belief that maybe I can step on the water. If you say so, then I'll do it. And Jesus said, well, come step out. And he did so until he what? Lost faith in himself. And he looked at the waves and he got scared. A lot of times we forget that God actually has faith in us. But he has faith in you to become like Christ. That when God looks at you, he sees Christ in you. He sees past your mistakes, past your failures, your doubts. He sees past all that and he sees the gold in each of every one of you. And he goes, you're pure. I know you. Yeah, but I did this, I did that. No, be quiet. I know you. You're pure. Yeah, but what about this mistake? What about that mistake? I don't see it. I see you as who you truly are, which is my son. So sometimes, it's not that you have to stop doing this, stop doing that mistake, stop falling again and again. Sometimes it's start believing in the faith that God has of you. And that might change your ways. You might be blessed because then you're starting to believe, yeah, although I did those mistakes, God sees me as pure. I'm going to remain pure because he believes that I am, even though my friends don't believe it. My family doesn't believe it. My record doesn't believe it. God believes it. Therefore, that's the only voice I want to listen to. Jesus says this in John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Remember, that Greek word for the word pure has to do with refining or pruning. Pure is allowing Jesus to cut you. If you guys have clean floors at your house, people who are very clean, they can see every little dirt on the floor. If your house is dirty and you walk in there and you see a dirty home, you're not going to care about taking your shoes off or about dirtying the place up. When you're pure and you desire to be pure, you recognize every little thing that starts to invade your clean space. But when you're not pure and you just live amok, it doesn't matter what comes your way. You're dirty, you're in a sense dirty anyway. I hate using that word because we're not dirty. But in a sense, you don't really care because it's not that bad. And you hear a lot of Christians talk like that. Yeah. Oh, it's not that bad. They're just sleeping around. It's not that bad. They're gonna get married anyway. Oh, it's not that bad. They drink 10 beers, but he's really not like blackout drunk. So it's not that bad, right? Oh, marijuana's not really a drug. No judgment for anyone that does that kind of stuff. I don't want you to feel terrible, but you get what I'm saying. If you're surrounded by a purity culture, and again, I'm not talking about sexual purity, although that's also involved, but a pure culture as in holy, sanctified, righteous. If you're around that culture, you're going to pick up things that was once meaningless to you that now is going, this is a big deal that I don't want anymore. And the only way that's going to happen if you allow Jesus to come in and wake you up, cut the things that don't belong anymore. If you pursue purity in Christ, you allow him to cut you if you need to. Your actions are going to produce fruit. But this verse doesn't end. It keeps going. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Now it's getting really deep, where it's not just he's going to cut some pieces away. It is, if you don't allow me to cut you, then I will have no part of you. And you might be thinking, oh yeah, he's talking about the unbelievers. He's talking about the ones that don't go to church, that don't know Jesus. That's who he's talking about, that he will cut away. No. He's not talking about those people. He's talking about believers here. That those people are not doing the work of pruning or of wanting to be pruned, then they will just be cut off completely. Jesus says something else. And if you read Matthew chapter 23, it's where Jesus almost loses it. Like he is pissed off. You could even say like he's cursing at people. Like he's calling people names and like, calling people fools. And these are just some words that are picked out of that chapter. Woe to you, hypocrites, blind guides, blind fools, greedy, selfish, unclean, whitewashed tombs, dead bones, wicked, snakes, brood of vipers. To us, some of these words might not mean anything, but back then, this is like, you jackass, like, you good-for-nothing bastard. It's not nice words to say to people. Again, Jesus is not talking to people who are unbelievers. He's talking to the leaders of the law and Pharisees, and they are the leaders of the church. In other words, pastors, worship leaders, basically. Not back then, but today it could be those types of people. People who know the scriptures, who have degrees in the Bible. People like me. I got a degree in the Bible. I'm teaching. Jesus is talking to those people. Why is he so angry at these people? And it seems like Jesus is always angry at these people. And he should be. Because these are the people that were supposed to show what the kingdom of heaven is like. And they aren't. Why? Because they were not pure in heart. Their motives were wrong. Yeah, they knew the scriptures. Yeah, they know the Bible. Yeah, they go to Bible studies. Yeah, they do the preachings. Sure. But inside, inwardly, pure of heart, dirty. I was listening to this podcast. I'm not going to say his name, but it's the most popular podcast in the world on Spotify. It starts with a J, and it rhymes with O. Rogan. And he was talking to David Blaine, who is a magician. They were saying how sometimes there's these contact lenses that magicians would put on, and these cards would be all tainted. So that when they hold up a card and they say, oh, pick a card, any card, and hold it up to me, I can see through the card, and I can tell you what it is. On the other side of the card, it's printed in this dye that only the contacts can see. Wow. Right? So they say, pick a card, any card. And you can say, oh, it's Ace of Spades. Oh, it's Jack. It's a Jack. Oh, it's Two of Hearts, whatever, right? Because they got the contacts on their eyes, right? They can see. In the same way, when you're pure in Christ, you're able to see. And remember, they didn't even see Jesus. Jesus later on said, the verse is not up here, he said, I'm here right in front of you, and you guys can't even see, right? He says that in Scripture. You guys think you know the Scripture, but you don't because I'm right here in front of you, right? They're not pure in heart. Why? Because they're so focused on outer appearance, so focused on what people think of them, so focused on what they can get from being religious. These Pharisees were the richest people, almost, not the richest, but some of the most richest people there. They were powerful people. They were very powerful people. They liked their position because what they got from that position. Sometimes we Christians, we play that game. We think we're better than people. We look down on people, right? We have the right to call some people out because we're so holy. Be very careful. Remember what Jesus says to those people who were in charge of church back then. Woe to you, hypocrites, blind guides, blind fools, greedy, selfish, unclean, whitewashed tombs, dead bones, wicked snakes, brood of vipers. But some people are only using religion to avoid hell. They are only using religion to go to heaven. They don't want Jesus. They want nothing to do with Christ, really. They don't want to become like Jesus. They don't want Jesus to snip what doesn't belong in their life. But what they do want is a get out of hell card. And I think we all have those friends that are like, come around, that friend comes around your house or starts calling you and texting you, and you know immediately, oh, he wants this again. Oh, this person wants money again. Oh, he's only nice to me because he wants to borrow my car. These Pharisees, leaders of the law, were not really in it for the right reasons. They were using religion for status. In verse 26 of chapter 23, Jesus says, first clean the inside of your cup, and then the outside will be clean also. The Holy Spirit would have to clean the inside of your cup. He has to do the snipping. But you also have to allow him to clean you, right? He does a purification, not you, but you have to allow him to. I know a lot of you guys have heard things, or heard people say things like, oh, I don't believe in God because there's no proof. I don't see God. What I think about is, man, you almost like you poor thing. Like, of course you don't see God, because you don't have a pure heart. Like, you did not allow the Holy Spirit to purify you. I don't blame you for not seeing God, and anything that I say to you will not change your mind, right? If they're looking for evidence, like the guy with the contact lenses, like the David Blaine that can see the card, he can explain all he wants. Look, there's an ace of spades on that card. Don't you see it? The ace is like this. Spades is black. Don't you see it? And as much as David Blaine goes and explains it to the person, that person is going to say, I don't see it, because he doesn't have the contacts on. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. When you're pure in heart and you're like, and you allow Christ to snip away some things that aren't good, and you're connected to him one-on-one, like a branch, right? You're in Christ. No matter the situation that you go through, it is a blessing when you're pure in heart, because the worst thing that can happen to you can happen, and you can go, God is still good. He's still sufficient. He still gives me peace. He still gives me joy. He still listens to me. He's still here. And this is super important, because I know you guys know people who have been Christians or who were Christians, where an accident happens or something terrible happens, and all of a sudden they go, there is no God. Because if God was real, then this wouldn't have happened. In their mind, they have a valid logical argument. If God is so loving, then why did he cause this accident that killed my daughter? But if they're pure in heart and pursuing Christ and allowing God just to purify them day after day after day after day, the hard work, the painful work, no matter what happens, and they get into an accident and the daughter dies, they'll go, well, my daughter is dancing with the King. And I will rejoice for that. Her last breath here was the first breath she took in heaven. God is good. There's a blessing there, you see? A big blessing. Because the worst thing can happen, and you're going to be able to get up on your feet and walk with the Lord still.
Thank you for listening to this week's Bible study at Hope Collective Church. Feel free to join us next Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. if you are in between ages 18 to 40, or join our Sunday morning service at 8 or 9:30. See you next time.